So what am I going to do with you? The Kilesas have all the power over you and the Dhamma weighs it. Pulls its finger out of the hand, out of the sand and says, you know, please forgive me, I have no energy. Actually, it should be just the other way around. That the Kilesas pull the finger out of the sand and say, you know, just forgive me, I don't have any power anymore because the Dhamma has taken all the power over me. It's not easy, I know. The path of practice is not... It's not being in a luxury hotel, or it's not being, you know, in a luxury restaurant. Just eating oneself full, you know, and be satisfied. And in the beginning it's very difficult to see what is Dhamma and what are the Kilesas. The Kilesas had for such a long time had the power over us and still have the power over us. So that's why we think whatever is within our vicinity is us, is mine. And the Kilesas are mine, or the mine are the Kilesas, you know, whatever. So it's difficult to get grip on. So when we start to practice, it is difficult to see what is good or what is wholesome and what is not wholesome. It is difficult to see the forest because of all its trees. All what we see is the trees. We do not see the forest. Or when we look at the desert, all what we see are the sand dunes. But we do not see the desert. And the sand dunes are moving along. Every 3 or 4 weeks the desert is changing its shape. Just like us, we are constantly changing. We're changing, today we think like this, tomorrow we think like this. Today we feel like this, tomorrow we feel like that. Everything is constantly changing, so we can't get a grip. But we always put our attention on the sand dunes and think that the sand dunes is the desert. But it's not. The desert itself is something different from the sand dunes. But all what we can see are the sand dunes. And we fix them on and then say, this is me. So now today I'm like this and tomorrow I'm like that. But it has nothing to do with us. These are just illustrations. Or just look at a lake. Look at a lake, a deep lake. Now all what we can see are the waves on the top of the lake. They're up and down, up and down. They are formed by the wind of greed and hate, and deformed by the rain of delusion. So all what we see are the waves, the tossing around of the waves upon the lake. But we cannot see the lake. Once we calm down the wind of greed and hate, and it becomes calmer, then there is still the rain of delusion that hits on the surface so that we cannot see the ground. Once we remove the delusion, then the lake is like a mirror. And this mirror is avijja, it's the last step. It mirrors everything, so it doesn't give us the chance to see the ground. Once avijja is removed, we can see the ground. We can see our true nature. But before that, and what we are normally doing is identifying with these waves, identifying with the surface of the lake. But the surface of the lake is just a little bit, a little part of the lake. The lake itself is very deep. And the ground of the lake and the ground of our citta are very different. And we are constantly within our practice. Maybe for one day or 2 days our practice is going well, so we are spurred on and go on with our practice. Then after 3 days, you know, it's becoming tiring, doubts, difficult, and so on and so on. And then we look at the high tides and then think the problem is the high tides. No, it's not. The problem is the wind. It's a storm. And it's the rain that creates the high tides. But we only look at the high tides. We do not look at the thing that creates the tides. We do not look at the things that move the sand dunes or that create the waves on the lake. All what we look, you know, oh, this sand dune is in my way, so how can I get across it? It will move on itself. Just be patient, it will move on itself. It just appears and disappears, appears and disappears. And there's nothing, nothing that does not appear. There's nothing that does not disappear. Whatever comes into our contact, you know, must disappear. Whatever comes into our contact must change. That is the law of anicca. Everything is changing constantly. There is no moment that is equal to another moment. Every moment is unique. But we fool ourselves that we think this moment is just like the old moment, or this Buddha is just like the Buddha before, or this breath is just like the breath before. That is boring. And then we stop. Look at the ground of the sea. Look at the things that are not moving. And you will get a much more closer idea of what is us. Or what is our true nature. And don't forget, please remember, the Lord Buddha said, it is easier to fight as a single person, a whole army, than to fight oneself. That's where you can see all the difficulties. The difficulties is to fight that what we think we are. And that's what makes it so difficult, because we are actually attached to what we are, what we think we are. So the first thing to undermine its power, to see that the things that we think we are constantly changing. They are full of dukkha. Constantly we experience dukkha, 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 dukkha. That is dissatisfactory. That is, there I'm at, not at ease, and there, that is disappointing. Or this is not good. Or this is not satisfactory, and so on, and so on. And these things are not mine. They do not belong to me. That's the principle of anatta. Whatever appears in front of my eyes, whatever comes into the senses, is not me. Otherwise, who is the one who knows about that something has come into contact with the senses? It is just like the ground of the lake is watching the surface. If we do not attach to the surface and think just the surface is the lake, or just the surface is us or true nature, then we are at ease. We are completely at ease. The path of practice is really not, it is not easy. It could be easy if you're determined. No matter what is coming into our way, we will put it away. If we have this 100% determination, then the path of practice will be very easy. Whatever we face, you know, we just pull out of the way. But what we normally do, we look at it, you know, and we think, oh no, oh gosh, why does that need to be there? Who put that in my way? We're looking in a way that is not helpful for us. Whatever I see, whatever I meet with in my practice, you know, just let's get rid of it. Chuck it out. Don't feel attached to it. It's not me, it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. So chuck it out. Or in other terms, when you do samadhi, when you keep with the Buddha, or when you keep with the breath, whatever at that moment or at that time comes into your mind, just shoot it down. Kill it off. Don't let it come in. You have the responsibility that nothing is entering the mind. That you're concentrated only on the word Buddha, or that you're concentrated only on the breath. The breath coming in, the breath coming out at the tip of the nose, nowhere else. That is your only task. And whatever else, just kill it off, just shoot it down, just get rid of it. And if you do it, then after a while it will be quiet. It becomes much more quiet. And the moment it becomes quiet, then there's a danger. Because then the kilesas come out with the white flag, oh yes, you besieged us. Now let's make a treaty. The moment they make a treaty, you are already under their power. Again. You cannot trust anybody. You cannot trust anything that comes into your mind. You must be very wary of all the things. While you do your investigation or while you do your samadhi practice with Buddha or with observation of the breath, you must be very wary of anything that comes into the mind. Just chuck it out. Get rid of it. And don't buy into it. In the beginning, the kilesas might be strong. They might be battling you. They might be frightening you. But you don't give in. And the moment they notice that you don't give in, they change their tactics. Then they come in as, now we surrender, now you're free of us. Who is telling us this? Now we are close. Who is telling us this? It's a trickery of the kilesas. The kilesas are the mastermind. Don't forget that. They are the mastermind and they trick us wherever they can. All what they need is the power to rule us. And as long as they have the power to rule us, they won't interfere. The moment we take away their power and replace it with the power of Dhamma, sticking to our object, then they are going to interfere. First in a strong way, then in a weak way, and then they're seducing us. And the seduction of them coming in as this very sweet voice, yes, you've done a lot of good practice, you've done practice very well, now it's time to rest. Now this is too difficult for you. This, you don't have enough merit. You can't do that. These are all the voices of the kilesas. Imagine that they had a power to rule our ship for so millions and millions of lives. They led us from one life to the other. Comparing it to a ship on a very vast ocean. We have been to every port in this ocean over and over again. When we think about the port of as the realms of existence, we have been in any kind of realm of existence, not only one time, but a hundred of times. We've been to hell, we have been to heaven. We've been a human being, we've been an animal, we've been everything already. And they promise us the next life will be better. And we buy it. We buy it. We believe it. Because we believed all our life. From the moment we woke up, you know, we believed them. Now I have to get up, now I have to work, now I have to earn money, now I have to do this, now I have to do that. And we believed it and believed it and believed it and never ever doubted. Why do I need to do that? That is the doubt. But we do not doubt their power, so that's why we are always under their power. And don't imagine that you can trick the Kilesas. Because the Kilesas are the master of trickery. You cannot, there's no way that you can trick them out. They're much cleverer than you are. Because they know everything. They know everything about you. They know your weaknesses, they know your strongholds, they know the tendency of the character, they know everything. So if you want to trick them, that is a lost battle. The only way to fight them is to fight them with sati and panya. That means awareness and wisdom. Wisdom in the sense of not of knowledge, but wisdom in the sense of seeing inside the nature. Seeing inside what is really left. Questioning everything down. From a human being, and I take off the skin and see what is under the skin. Then take off the flesh and the sinews and the bones, you know, and see what is underneath. Until you see the skeleton. Then investigate the skeleton until it crumbles away. And then see what it is made of. And whatever you investigate, you know, it will just crumble down into bits and pieces. Nothing will have a solid nature. Everything that you investigate, the moment you really truly investigate, it crumbles down. But of course, the Kilesas won't let you investigate so far. They will make you stop, or they will not let you investigate. They will tell you this is not so important, this is not so necessary, or this is too difficult, or I just can't do it. So if you buy into these things, then you lost already the battle before you even started. It's a way we have to pull through. And it doesn't matter how long we pull through. Now, for most of you lay people, you are just here for a week or for a month or for 2 or 3 months. That's not really starting or getting you going anywhere. The real battle starts being here, being doing the same thing for months, for years on end. Every day the same kind of work. Doing one samadhi or doing one's investigation. That is the work of a samana. That is the work of a recluse. Keeping the life as simple as possible so that we don't have to think a lot about our keeping the body alive. A simple environment makes life simple and gives us most of the time for our practice. That's what this monastery is designed for. As simple as possible so that we have the most time, our precious time, for doing the practice. We follow some Dutangas. Dutangas are ascetic practices. One of the ascetic practices that we eat only once a day. Another of the ascetic practices is that we live in the forest, that we live alone in the forest. Another one is just that we eat the food that is given us on Pindapat, that what the monks normally follow during the rains retreat. They do not accept food that is given later. What are the ascetic practices for? For rooting out the kilesas that are so strong in our comfort. They undermine the comfort. Undermining the comfort brings the rage of the kilesas. I don't need to do this. How dare I need to do that? Why not eating two or three times a day? This has nothing to do with practice. Practice is sitting and practice is walking. That's the rage of the kilesas. And to see them is actually to follow these ascetic practices. And you will find it the moment you go out alone. Somewhere in places where the Lord Buddha teaches us, places where nobody else would go. That means always frightening places. Places where you're alone, where you have nobody, you can talk to nobody you depend on. You go there, and you stay there, and after 3 days you're so frightened that you run back. It shows you much more. These kind of practices, being alone in the forest with wild animals, or with ferocious animals, or whatever. Being in a cave with other beings, or being at the top of the hill, or just in the open, just being alone. It's one of the ascetic practices. That are the places where actually the people attain to arahantship. They attain to freedom. At these places, they didn't attain to freedom in luxury hotels or on meditation cushions. Having 5 meals a day, and so on, and so on. So these ascetic practices that we follow here for a path are there to uproot the kilesas, to make the life most uncomfortable so that we can see what we are attached to. And once we see what we are attached to, then we can deal with it. If it wouldn't be the way out, then the Lord Buddha wouldn't have taught us this. You don't have to strangle yourself, that is not helpful. But reduce the things that you are accustomed to. Reduce them to a bare minimum where you actually feel, when we talk about eating, where you actually feel the hunger. Or when we talk about sleeping, where you feel the bare wood under your skin. When you feel the bare wood under your skin, you don't sleep very long. Because it's not comfortable. It's not as comfortable as sleeping on a mattress, on a soft mattress. You can sleep much longer on a soft mattress than on a bare wooden floor. So all these things in this monastery are designed to keep us going, to keep us practicing. Practicing with the utmost effort. And see whatever comes in our mind. That is not good, this is not good. To battle that off. Not to allow the kilesas to get a grip on us. Not to allow the kilesas to get a hold of us. To make things that are perfect for the way of practice not being comfortable or not being suitable for us. And remember, what is us is kilesas. Us and kilesas are one and the same thing. So what is not comfortable for us, that is not comfortable for the kilesas. What is frightening us is frightening the kilesas. What is doubt is the doubt of the kilesas. It has nothing to do with our true nature. It has nothing to do with our citta. Remember this. And also remember When we train, and I take up the example of the Lord Buddha, who said that the path of practice is the path more difficult than as a one person to fight a whole army than to fight oneself. It's a fight. It's a war that we have to wage against the Kilesas. In the beginning we train this war. Now just like soldiers, and learn to how to use the weapons. Learn tactics in the battlefield, and so on. So in this way we learn the Dhamma. But don't forget that the Kilesas are learning at the same time. So they learn all our tactics, they learn the way how we handle the weapon. So it's not really useful to train a lot. It's much more useful to go into battle. And once we are in battle, we will see, we will experience what is really going on. And that makes us an experienced soldier. A soldier experienced in battle. And that puts our knowledge that we had before, puts it normally into a corner where it is not needed. It's pretty much useless. The moment we take on the fight, we learn the tactics from the battlefield itself. We learn the tactics from fighting the Kilesas. We see how they deceive us. We see how they trick us. Just the moment you get up from your seat, or just the moment you end your walking meditation, see how they trick you. See what they tell you that you ended. The Dhamma is not going to end walking meditation or sitting meditation. It's the Kilesas who end it. That's enough. Oh, I'm tired. You know, I've done enough. You know, my practice is extremely good today. You know, and so on, and so on. That's the way they end it. That's the way they trick us. That's the way that they deceive us. It has nothing to do with Dhamma. Dhamma wants to keep on. Keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. The Kilesas are the ones, are the brakes. And in the beginning they are strong brakes. They constantly stand with all their weight on the brakes, so that we can't move a bit. Just don't get fooled. It's difficult. So that's why I said in the beginning, when we train our samadhi, or when we train investigation, we know what the object of investigation is. And in the beginning, it's only just one object. It's the body. Body, 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 body. Body inside, outside, from top to bottom, from bottom to top, from outside to inside, from small to big. Put it up. Cut it up and put it in front of you until you see it with your inner eyes. And see what the body is. It's actually not different from what a slaughter has in its slaughterhouse. Cut up animals. And that's what we call body. That's what we are so attached to. Go in a slaughterhouse and look at the animal. Are you attached to it? No. There's no meaning at all. You just see the flesh and the bones and the sinews. And if it's just cut down, you know, you see the blood running out all over the place. But it's just dead meat. So cut it up. Understand the true nature of the body. Why do you constantly concerned about this body? Now if I sit too long, I break my body, or break my legs, or I break this, or I injure myself to the rest of my life. Huh? Get the tricks. Catch the tricks of the Kilesas. They're tricking you all the time. They don't stop. They have more power than we do. They have more energy. Even in the sleep, they don't let us go. They dream about this or dream about that. Constantly in restlessness. Thinking about this, thinking about that. Memorizing this, memorizing that. Feeling this, feeling that. Worrying about this, afraid of that, doubting this. All the work of the kilesas. Not the work of Dhamma. The Dhamma is straight, it just goes through. Whatever it sees, it goes through. When it sees pain, it goes through pain. When it sees a hindrance, it goes through the hindrance just like it was, would be a curtain of light. The kilesas see any kind of hindrance as a mountain that is unclimbable. So they look for the easy way out, they look for the way around. But there is no way around the hindrance. The only way to overcome a hindrance is just to go straight through it. I really want to see that you get some results. I really do wish that you get some results from your practice. So shut them out. When you do Buddha, you know, shut them out. Whatever comes into the mind, just shut it out, or shoot it off, or kill it off, or dissect it. Split it open. No matter, you know, just don't buy into it. And it's the same with investigation. Once we know our object of investigation, that's it. That's the only thing that we think about. That's the only thing that we want to see. We want to see part of the body with our own inner eyes. That's why we concentrate of this part on this body. Until it comes up like a clear vision. Where we can see it, how it really is there in this body. It's not a fake, it's not a picture, it's not a memory from our anatomical atlas. Looking at an anatomical atlas, you know, things are very, very smooth. There's nothing that is really disgusting. The moment we open the body, you know, everything is disgusting. It's a for loathsome nature. We just don't like to see. Just imagine the one thing that when you look in the morning in the mirror, and then you pull off your skin and just see the fresh blood and the flesh meat and the fresh muscles. You don't look very long in the mirror. But the moment the skin is on, you look very long. Look at this part, look at that part. Oh, I think this is nice or this is not so nice. But when you see the true nature of the body, you just look away. You don't want to see. And that is the way of investigation, of understanding the nature of the body. That whatever gets in is nice and of beauty, and whatever comes out is ugly and distasteful. So the thing that turns everything that is beautiful and nice into something that is ugly and disgusting, let's see its nature. Let's hack it up. Let's cut it down and put it in front of us to see, to understand what is the attachment of the citta to this body. The body is just the car, and the citta is the driver of the car. What has the driver to do with the car? Nothing. The driver can steer the car, can move the car. Wherever the driver wants to go, that's how he drives the car. Or that's where he drives the car. And it's just the same relation with the citta and the body. Whatever the body wants to do, the citta has to order it. It has to pull the strings that the body moves. It has to pull the string that the body eats and digests, and so on, and so on. Without the citta wanting anything, when the citta is completely calm, completely absorbed, the body does not move a bit. Nothing. It's just still. Completely still. Like a lake that is completely still. It doesn't move a bit. It's the citta who moves the body. It's not the body who moves itself. Understand that. And the citta is empowered by the kilesas. It's completely under the control of the kilesas. So that's what we have to fight. We have to fight against the power that controls this citta to move this body. And the citta and the kilesas do like this body. They are so attached to this body that even if we get a little injury, they are completely afraid. And they're most afraid of death. And that's what we can use to battle against them. Let's die whatever everything can die. Let's just die. The only thing that is afraid of death are the kilesas. So I really want to see you practice. I really want to see you to put some effort and determination in your practice. Don't get fooled by the kilesas. See the kilesas, and you can see them when you constantly keep on your object of recitation. When you constantly keep on the Buddha, then you see whatever comes into is the power of the kilesas. That's when you do that for a while, you will understand or you will see more clearly the nature of the kilesas. If you give in to it, you will never understand it. So just shoot them up or whatever. Or just don't pay any interest to it. Whatever is your way. Just don't buy into it. So, and with this I end my talk.